All right, beloved, let's go ahead and turn in our sword now to Revelation chapter 13. Revelation chapter 13, we're going to look at verses 12 through 15. Like I told you last week, don't get used to that short message. Even though we are going to have choir practice after tonight's lesson, it may not be that quick compared to as it was last week. Now let's be sure to turn our phones off. We don't want anything ringing while we're in the Lord's house. This is not time for anybody really to try to get a hold of us. We understand emergencies happen, but we want to give God His time and God our attention. So, having your place there now, you don't have to stand, you don't have to read out loud. Just follow along with me. We're going to look at verses 12 through 15. The Bible says, "And he exerciseth all the power of the first beast before him, and causeth the earth and them that dwell therein to worship the first beast, whose deadly wound was healed. And he doeth great wonders, so that he maketh fire come down from heaven on the earth in the sight of men, and deceiveth them that dwell on the earth by the means of those miracles which he had power to do in the sight of the beast, saying to them that dwell on the earth that they should make an image to the beast, which had the wound by a sword and did live." Verse 15. "And he had power to give life unto the image of the beast, that the image of the beast should both speak and cause that as many as would not worship the image of the beast should be killed." All right, now last time we met the second beast of Revelation, the false prophet, wherein we were reminded that appearances can be deceiving, as he looked like a lamb, but he spake as a dragon. And tonight we are going to be introduced in this lesson 126, the false prophet part 2, we are going to be introduced to his powers. So with that said, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we thank you for this beautiful, wonderful day that you've given us. Father, we ask now that you'll meet with us, open our hearts and minds to your truth and to your word. Father, help us to be able to rightly divide the word of truth, not in our own strength, not in our own understanding, but your strength alone. Father, we ask these things, Lord. Father, we pray that you'll be with those that are not with us tonight for whatever reason it may be. And Lord, also we ask now this evening that you will be with us as we seek to understand your word. And go with us now, Father. We humbly ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, let's look at our first point. The Bible says, "And he exercises all the power of the first beast before him." Now, this is interesting in that, beloved, the false prophet then has a delegated authority from the first beast, the Antichrist. And actually, it makes him subservient to him, but he's also on par with him. In other words, he has the same power. That's what he says. He exercises all the power of the first beast before him. Now, it sounds to some like the operations of the Trinity while Christ was on the earth. Thus, this has caused many theologians and Bible scholars and preachers to call the false prophet the last member of what they call the Satanic Trinity. And you say, well, what is the Satanic Trinity? The Satanic Trinity, then, beloved, consists of Satan, the Antichrist, and the false prophet. As we see, there is a relationship, a close working bond, if you will, between the Antichrist and the false prophet. And that is that they are both serving Satan. While the false prophet will have the power of the first beast, recall Revelation 13. You wonder what those powers are. Verses 4, 5, and 7. While he has that power, he will not exercise it to be the focal point of power politically. Rather, he will exercise or use this power religiously. All right, let's look at the next point. He says, John does, "And causeth the earth and them that dwell, them which dwell therein." Now remember, this is a reference to the unsaved upon the earth. So what does he cause them to do? "Causeth the earth and them which dwell therein." Next point, to worship the first beast whose deadly wound was healed. Now this appears to be the beginning, if you will, beloved, of evil miracles. You see, the Antichrist was assassinated, and then he came back to life. And that is but the drop in the bucket, beloved, compared to what the false prophet is about to unleash upon those that are lost. And that is another reason why Beloved, we cannot trust every miracle, every sign, every wonder that we see in this world. We again note also, beloved, that the warnings about the worship of the beast are given yet again. And that the false prophet then has the power to cause all, that is, except the saved, to worship the beast. Now, what does that tell you, beloved? What does that tell you about? There will be no First Amendment. There will be no freedom of religion. Thus, remember, we've already covered this in previous studies. There will be no United States of America. There'll be no Confederate States of America either reestablished. There will be nothing over on this hemisphere, on this side of the earth. The West, in other words, will have been destroyed. We looked at that at the judgments that were rained out upon the world in the first trumpet judgment, the second trumpet judgment, the third trumpet judgment. We looked at those, and we noted that this whole area, one-third of the earth's surface, because one-third of all grass will have been burned up, we calculated that to be most likely is going to compass North, Central, and South America is going to be eradicated. But having said that, remember, however, people always wonder, where is America at in prophecy? We're not there. And specifically, our freedom is not there. So while you hear all these people whining and mewing and talking about, oh, separation of church and state, no religion inside of the state arena, inside of the state square, that's all going to be turned up on side of his head. Because now this false prophet is going to have the unlimited authority with the pain of execution, upon the pain of death, that if you do not worship the first beast, if you do not worship the image, if you don't take the mark of the beast, you will be executed. We won't, but the people here that will be here living here, the lost people and the saved people, God is warning them that if you don't get on his side, you're going to die and go to hell. And he says even if you do get on his side at that point in the tribulation, you may very well forfeit your life, but physically, not spiritually. If you are saved, you will be with the Lord forever and ever. Let's look at the next point. And he doeth, who doeth? The false prophet. And he, the false prophet, doeth great wonders, so that he maketh fire come down from heaven on the earth in the sight of men. So here, the Bible informs us, my dearly beloved, that the false prophet is going to do great wonders. Now let's review a few points about this. So many today seemingly say, I got to see it, preacher, to believe it. Or when a miracle happens, it's got to be from God. Well, it may be from a God, and I mean by that the God of this world, Satan, who seeks to blind the eyes and minds of men so that they will be deceived and not follow the one true God, the Holy Trinity, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Ghost, which the Bible declares, which these three are one. So the Word of God warns people repeatedly, beloved, to beware of lying signs and wonders, and to test everything not by your feeling, not by what happened to your grandma, not by your denomination standard, but by the very Word of the living God. So let's consider. These are led astray. Why? Because they reject the Lord's truth. 2 Thessalonians 2 verses 10 and 11 says, and with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, because they receive not the love of the truth, that they might be saved. And for this cause God shall send them a strong delusion. There's no A in there. God shall send them strong delusion, that they should believe a lie. Number two, God has warned his people to beware of the deceiver. Deuteronomy 13, 1 through 3. If there arise among you a prophet, or a dreamer of dreams, and giveth thee a sign or a wonder, and the sign or wonder or the wonder come to pass whereof he spake unto thee, saying, let us go after other gods, which thou hast not known, and let us serve them, thou shalt not hearken unto the words of that prophet or that dreamer of dreams, for the Lord your God proveth you to know whether ye love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul. He's saying, even if the thing comes to pass, but yet they're telling you the message that is diametrically opposed to what God has said in his word, do not follow them. You can also see there, look at Ezekiel chapter 13, verses 1 through 23. You see more on that. 1 John 4, 1 through 3 declared, "Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits whether they are of God." Why? Because many false prophets are going out into the world. Hereby know ye, the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is of God. And every spirit that confesses not that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is not of God. And this is that spirit of Antichrist whereof ye have heard that it should come, and even now already is it in the world. And so there you see. Again, the spirit of Antichrist, it is at work all throughout the world. Even now. 2 Timothy 3:8 tells us, "Now as James and Jambres withstood Moses, so do these also resist the truth, men of corrupt mind, reprobate concerning the faith." Now we have the examples, beloved, of the Egyptian magician concerning lying signs and wonders. I want to go back and do a quick sidebar study so you'll see the power that the enemy can wield at times. In Exodus 7, verses 11 and 12, it says, "Then Pharaoh also called the wise men and the sorcerers. Now the magicians of Egypt, they also did in like manner with their enchantment. For they cast down every man his rod, and they became serpents. But Aaron's rod swallowed up their rods." The famous scene on the Ten Commandments with Charlton Heston, where the magicians lay down their staffs and turned into serpents. Even as Aaron's rod has turned into a serpent. That's what he's talking about. So understand, the devil can, when he is allowed to, he can use lying signs and wonders to deceive the hearts of men. Exodus 7:22 says, "And the magicians of Egypt did so with their enchantment, and Pharaoh's heart was hardened, neither did he hearken unto them, as the Lord has said." So what did they do? When the Nile River was turned to blood, the magician turned water to blood. Exodus 8:7, "And the magician did so with their enchantments and brought up frogs upon the land of Egypt." So there again we see that they were able to bring up frogs like the miracle of Moses and Aaron did. But the magicians, beloved, did not have unlimited power then, nor will they now, nor will they have it during the tribulation. Because Exodus chapter 8, verses 18 and 19 shows us, "And the magician did so with their enchantment to bring forth lice, but they could not. So there were lice upon man and upon beast. Then the magician said unto Pharaoh, This is the finger of God. And Pharaoh's heart was hardened, and he hearkened not unto them, as the Lord had said." So again, take heart here, beloved, that even though the devil has lying signs and wonders, he can only go so far. Number 3, God will permit these false miracles to be performed because of the mental state of the people of spiritual rejection of him and his word. Thus, taking a cue from Elijah, the false prophet will call fire down from heaven just like Elijah did in 1 Kings 18, verses 38 and 39. How tragic it is. You see, beloved, there is a form of protection when we allow ourselves to be filled with the Word of God. When we accept the teaching of the Word of God and we don't reject it, there is a certain amount of protection in the Word of God by believing it and following what it says. Otherwise, if we reject God and we reject His Word, then we are susceptible to the lying signs and wonders and the deceptions of this world. And that's exactly what the Bible tells us in our next point. Because of the wonders and signs that the false prophet will do, it says he will be able to deceive them that are lost. It says, "And deceiveth them that dwell on the earth, by the means of those miracles which he had power to do in the sight of the beast." Now we know from Jesus' word that the elect, that is to say, will not be deceived, but the lost will. Matthew 24:24 declares, "For there shall arise false Christ and false prophet, and shall show great signs and wonders, insomuch that, if it were possible, they shall deceive the very elect." Furthermore, Paul warns of a deception that will be believed upon once the Holy Ghost has been removed, that is, at the rapture. 2 Thessalonians 2:11 declares, "And for this cause God shall send them strong delusion, that they should believe a lie. Now that sounds like God is doing this. But rather look at Romans 1:28 for the explanation. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient. So without the truth then, beloved, to guide them, and all the while seeing the lying wonders, signs, and miracles, the lost will be deceived because they have rejected the truth. And Jesus said in John 17:17, thy word is truth. They will then be deceived in the following with the beast and the false prophet tell them to do. So now since they are deceived, the next point the false prophet tells them, saying to them that dwell on the earth, remember that is a phrase, dwell on the earth, that is to the lost people. So he's going to the false prophet now is going to issue orders. And what are those orders? That they should make an image to the beast which had the wound by a sword and did live. So here the murder weapon is named. The Antichrist was wounded since he came back to life by a sword. It seems like an interesting idea, beloved, in that the mode of execution of those who will not obey is decapitation or beheading. So now the false prophet issues a directive to the 10 nations that they ought to issue orders to all their people to join forces, to join treasure, to join their talent, and collectively build an idol, the image of the beast. There are then three remaining powers then, beloved, that he will have and he will use. Number one, and he had power to give life unto the image of the beast. We know that the devil does not have the power of life, so this is going to be evidently a special miracle allowed by God. And it smacks, beloved, of the Kabbalistic Gollum. Not Gollum as in the Lord of the Rings. My precious. No. Not that. This is a Gollum. G-O-L-E-M. You see, the Gollum was a mud man in Jewish mysticism or Jewish magical beliefs. And basically, the legends or the stories say that the mud man could be brought to life by the scripture. So they would write on a piece of paper one of the scriptures, and they would pronounce their magical incantation, or if you will, their spell. And then they would put that slip of paper in the golem's mouth, and now they would have a slave of sorts, but he would not have a soul. He would not really be alive. He would just be animated, and he would do what he was told to do, basically, or so they would think. But the other flip side of this is that they would not write on a slip of paper that you would remove out of the golem's mouth when you wanted it to return to dust or dirt. In this case, they would write on his forehead. They would write the word emet, E-M-E-T, that is truth. So the golem then would be killed when the letter aleph would be smudged out or removed. So when the emet loses the first letter, which is the aleph, it turns to the word met, M-E-T, which is the word for death. So that's interesting in that we believe the false prophet will seem to be a Jew. But this statue is not going to be made of mud. It's most likely going to be a large statue made of probably some type of precious metal. We don't know. The Bible doesn't say. It only says it's an image. It kind of reminds us of the one found in the book of Daniel that Nebuchadnezzar had made, but his didn't come to life. And that's what the Bible says. You know, so many people like to say, well, this image is a television. No. Or they like to now, they're bringing out and saying, well, this image is going to be a hologram. The Bible says an image is going to be made, and the image is going to come to life. That's what the Bible says. But not only that, when you study Kabbalistic teaching about Gollum, the Gollum never could talk because that was a sign of intelligence. But here the Bible says that the image of the beast should both speak. That's amazing, isn't it? Wow. So this is the second miracle, the second of the three powers that he's going to have. So speaking is the mark, seemingly. I mean, have you heard some people talk nowadays? Speaking is the supposed mark of intelligence and civilization. So we have no directives in the text, then, beloved, to interpret this in a symbolic way or manner. Thus, we have to assume that this is legit. This is going to be another miracle. The former inanimate object will be brought to animation and thus will be lifelike. And then it's going to be allowed by God to speak. No doubt all this is being done by demonic power, but it's going to be a miracle in the eyes of the people, and they will be drawn into that evil. And then we read, and caused that as many as would not worship the image of the beast should be killed. So the final permission, or the final permissive power that the false prophet is going to have and use, is that he's going to be able to execute those who will not worship the image of the beast. So again, there is no freedom of conscience, there's no freedom of religion. It's either worship the image of the beast, go into hiding and hope that you're not found, or be killed. And that's not all. There is another thing that the Antichrist is going to, not the Antichrist, but the false prophet is going to put into motion. Because he's going to have another power, and that power has been spoken of for many years, and that is causing all to receive a mark, the mark of the beast, and if they don't accept it, they will be executed. Now, beloved, next Sunday and the Sunday following, for the next two Sunday nights, you want to make sure you are here, because we are going to start next Sunday night our study on the mark of the beast. What is it? What does it look like? What is this thing about 616 and not 666? We're going to study this in detail. And how does monster drink relate to this? Guys, we've got props. We've got teaching materials to give to you. So hang on to your seats, guys. It's fixing to get very interesting when we cover lessons 127 and lesson 128. Folks, if some of you want to sing in the choir, stick around, because this is going to wrap up our lesson tonight. And I hope that you got something out of this as we wrap up lesson 126. For those of you that will not be staying with us for choir practice, we'll go ahead and dismiss with a word of prayer. Let's all bow our heads.